Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. Joining me today are Anthony Anella. He's a conservationist and architect and is the founder of the Leopold Writing Program, a New Mexico nonprofit dedicated to promoting environmental ethics. Mark Childs is the Associate Dean of Research and a Professor of Architecture at the University of New Mexico. We spoke with him last year about the Zeon Files and historic Route 66 signs. Together, they've authored the new book from UNM Press, Imagine a City That Remembers, the Albuquerque Refotography Project. The book grew out of a series of articles and photographs published in the Albuquerque Tribune in 1998 and 1999, which also became an exhibit at the Albuquerque Museum. This expanded and updated collection revisits the city nearly 20 years later, after the original articles were written, and it juxtaposes historic and contemporary photographs of Albuquerque to show diverse moments in the city's history and development. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Anthony, the title suggests perhaps we are not a city that remembers, but if we were, it would be better for all of us. Is that true?
I believe it's true. One of the purposes of writing this book, and especially juxtaposing the historic photographs with contemporary photographs of the same places, is so that people who have moved here recently, who will move here, and who might not otherwise share an emotional attachment to this place, will care about it. We take care of the places we love, and we love the places that we know.
And Mark, why use this technique of juxtaposing historic and contemporary images to do this kind of work?
There are multiple sets of reasons for the comparison. One is very straightforward. It's a hook. People love to see the history and to see how it's changed. But also in our process of selecting those, it helped us think through the issues and think about different layers of time. So some of the photographs are 100 years apart, some are 1 year apart, so that you're seeing that change is continuous. It's not there was some golden past and now we're here. It's something that happens every day, and it's something that's going to continue to happen, and we need to make decisions understanding that time marches on, and we can make great decisions that last for a long time. We can make poor decisions that last for a long time. But really to think about our actions through time.
Anthony, you write about the idea of cadencia and talk about what that is and how you're trying to foster it now in 2019 in Albuquerque.
It means love for place through knowledge of the local environment and history. I love to quote Plato, who said, "What is honored in a country will be cultivated there." And Albuquerque is a special place, but too often we don't take care of it as if it were a place that matters.
In that vein, you have a chapter called The Genius of Albuquerque.
That title was inspired by a book written by Eric Weiner called The Geography of Genius. And he travels around the world and asks the following questions. For example, he goes to Greece and he asks, why Socrates? He goes to Florence, Italy, and he asks, why Leonardo da Vinci? He goes to Vienna and he asks, why Mozart? And what he concludes is that genius flourishes at cultural crossroads, places where diverse ideas and ways of looking at the world intersect and mingle. And Albuquerque has that cultural crossroads. I argue that our cultural epicenter is the intersection of 4th Street and Central Avenue. 4th Street being the old Camino Real and Central Avenue being old Route 66. That's where the two cultures intersect and mingle. And we have that here, unlike many other places. And that's the genius of Albuquerque, and that's what I try to make a case for protecting and preserving.
I think there are a couple levels here. Is that intersection is a metaphorical intersection as much as a physical intersection. It's the idea that it represents a set of forces, which it does. And Central Avenue itself is a set of forces. It's not just the history of Route 66. It's the old trail to get salt and turquoise from the mountains. It's been a number of different things in and of itself, and it will continue to be new things. It would be wonderful if that intersection were wonderful, but it's a bigger issue than that. It's how is the city really nurture and build upon these histories, these traditions, this great mixing, and going forward with that, what do we do with this wonderful opportunity we have?
How has urban sprawl damaged the city?
You know, if you want ideas and different points of view to mingle, it helps if you have an agora like they did in Greece.
A marketplace.
A marketplace where people come together and interact. The sprawl of the city gets in the way of that. Mark makes a great point in the book about when the Albuquerque Journal was published downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So the reporters were going to lunch downtown. They were getting stories because they were in the heart of the city. Moving the Albuquerque Journal to the Journal Center was part of sprawl, and it did nothing to help Albuquerque have a sense of place or an agora where ideas could mingle.
I mean, they weren't the only ones.
They weren't the
downtown.
Only ones.
A lot of the federal agencies left. There were many factors that sort of gutted downtown.
There were many factors, including the interstate highway system. It was then, when Interstate 40 was built, that suddenly Winrock, the location right next to Interstate 40, became a viable location for a regional shopping mall. So you had Paris shoe stores moving to Winrock, Fedway department store, which used to be downtown, went out of business. The old Alvarado Hotel was affected because not only did the interstate highway system take away passenger traffic from the trains, but also cargo from the trains. And that was a severe blow to Albuquerque's civic pride. I think there's a lot of things going on in this city right now that are cause for optimism. The fact that we now have a grocery store downtown speaks volumes. And
why is that so significant?
Because grocery stores only locate where there are enough households to support their as businesses. And, you know, we have a movie theater downtown. When I was growing up here, there were four or five movie theaters. There's signs of positive change in downtown.
One of the more jarring photos in your book was the giant cottonwood that was at Montaño and Rio Grande, which was cut down as part of creating the Montaño Bridge. It was also cut down in the middle of the night so no one could protest, which is kind of a classic bad development move. Why is this such an important moment in Albuquerque's history?
Because it has to do with quality of life. We talk about the need for economic development in Albuquerque. The fact is the innovators, the young people who have the potential to drive our local economy, have the luxury of choosing where they want to live. And they're going to live where there's cultural amenities for raising their families, where there's going to be good schools, where there's quality of life. That's one of the things Albuquerque has going for it. The decision by Mayor Chavez to build the Montaño Bridge did not fully understand that. And in fact, in terms of just trying to solve the very real transportation congestion on the west side, building that bridge, which dumped into 4th Street and 2nd Street, where there were huge bottlenecks, did not help the transportation issue. And in fact, the Montaño Bridge became a magnet for more traffic on Coors. So I would like to see our leaders consider the big picture over the long term. What's going to position Albuquerque to develop in a qualitative way? And the Montaño Cottonwood is an example of how not to do that.
This is University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm talking with conservationist and architect Anthony Anella and architecture professor Mark Childs about their book, Imagine a City That Remembers, the Albuquerque Rephotography Project, which was just published by UNM Press. you also talk about the amazing positive aspects of the city, such as our amount of open space. Why is that so important?
Our astounding open space system, and it really is astounding, and we should appreciate that, connects us back to the environment. My son currently lives in San Francisco. One of his complaints about living in San Francisco is he can't get out. He can't get to the natural environment without a major struggle. Here, we can get out. That open space system is preserving that, allowing it in a way that doesn't take a whole trip. You can do it for an afternoon, for a morning. You can ride your bike to work along the bosque. Those are quality of life issues. They're part of this place. They allow us to appreciate some of the subtle beauty of this place. I think the one thing that I would really like to see is some addition on the west side, some of that, I think, underappreciated landscape.
Mm-hmm.
When I bring visitors here, I often bring them to the volcanoes. They look west. Looking west is the astonishing vision for them. That horizon, that western landscape, is astounding. And I think we need to appreciate it more.
Los Angeles is trying to resuscitate the Los Angeles River. Albuquerque doesn't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Albuquerque has a 28-mile-long Rio Grande State Park right through the heart of the city. That is a huge amenity, and we need to care about it.
I wanted to add, I was looking at your book last night. A friend of mine was over who was born and raised here, and I just commented. I was looking. I said, it's always so amazing to me to see the pictures of Roosevelt Park, like what it was before. And he said, oh, well, what do you mean? And I said, I should have. I was like, it was this dusty mesa bowl or something. He had no idea what it looked like, what it took to make it the way it is now. Why is that so significant?
I love that image of Roosevelt Park being that dusty mesa worked on during the Franklin Roosevelt administration and transformed into the park we see today. I love that. The point there is how, as Frederick Law Olmsted observed,
creator of Central Park and
the creator of Central
so many
park,
other parks,
that open space and parks enhance the value of the adjacent property. And that's a great metaphor, in a way, of how focusing on Albuquerque's quality of life issues can enhance the economic viability of this city as a whole.
Tingley Beach is another example of that, that it started as a precursor to the New Deal. And in fact, there's evidence that the federal government copied Albuquerque's principles in putting people to work, making infrastructure on Tingley Beach. And then we lost Tingley Beach. It was not a great place for a period of time. And since we wrote the first essays and now, it has come back to life. So it's not just that it happened in the Golden Age. We can do it again and again and again. And we need to do those wonderful things, those wonderful projects.
Now, I wanted to ask you, curious if we learned anything since the Montaño Bridge, but you do have a section in the book where you talk about the Bosque Trail plan that our previous mayor implemented and was very, very controversial.
In full disclosure, I was a member of the Bosque Action Team. We did not oppose a trail. What we wanted was ecological science to inform the design of the trail. And the previous mayor just ran roughshod over that.
I think there's a theme here that we really should learn from. If we look at the Montaño Bridge controversy, if we look at the Bosque controversy, if we look at ART.
Albuquerque Rapid Transit system, which isn't operating
now. Well, I think what we see there is a desire to get things done, which may indeed be good things. But the lack of care with the details of really thinking it through, of understanding the impacts, the opportunities, how this could be great as opposed to just how it could be done.
You have a couple of different chapters where you sort of lessons from this. And Mark, yours, which is very provocative, was called Learning from Breaking Bad. Now, a lot of people love that show. A lot of people are not happy with what they perceive was the image of our city in it. So what right. what are the lessons you want us to take from Breaking Bad
for
Albuquerque?
And that's exactly the point. I mm-hmm. was being provocative because it's a dangerous thing. No question about that. But I will remind people that we love Billy the Kid, that there's this whole history of loving bad guys, particularly if they're safe and they're distant, they're in the past, they're imaginary. That is part of the culture of Duende, this dark force, the understanding that dancing with joy is wonderful. Dancing beyond joy, against fear, is also part of being human. If you put Breaking Bad in this longer cultural thread, it makes perfect sense here. And beyond that, the techniques, the details of that TV show are astounding. The photography, the care of looking at this environment in the photography, in the filming is wonderful. There are shorts at the beginning of just the clouds, of just the landscape, the desert landscape, a car driving down the road, a little house in the neighborhoods. There is real care, real joy, a real perceptive set of eyes in seeing this place and the beauty of this place that's in that show. So that's one of the things that we really should learn from, is there's a reason it was here. There's a reason they took such care.
So you're saying sometimes we've been here entrenched and we don't see these things, and this fresh set of eyes saw this beauty here that we might not.
Right.
Or we might take for granted.
We might take them for granted. Sometimes it's an outside view that sees that. Sometimes it's a local view that really says, wait a minute, there's this beauty I've experienced my whole life. I need to stand up for it. I think both of those are of value, but we see that in that show. Certainly there's violence, the surface, and I understand the problems with potentially celebrating that. Every place has a dark side. How do we deal with that? How do we understand that as part of the human experience and make that something more than just deplorable?
Anthony, you also have a chapter about learning from Martinez Town.
The example of Martinez Town epitomizes everything I hope this book might inspire. In life, either we insist on writing our own stories or we allow others to write our stories for us. And the story of Martinez Town is the story of a community stubbornly and persistently insisting on writing its own story. Martinez Town was first settled in 1820 at the crossroads of the Camino Real and two branches of the Tijeras Canyon Trail that connected the valley with wood collecting and game hunting up in the mountains. In 1880, the railroad arrives. In 1885, Albuquerque is incorporated, and it excludes Martinez Town as part of that incorporation, even though Martinez Town was one of the oldest and most historic parts of Albuquerque. Fast forward to 1955, Albuquerque adopts zoning. The part of Martinez Town south of Lomas is zoned public and institutional. The part of Martinez Town north of Lomas is zoned commercial and manufacturing, even though both those areas were mostly residential. This had the effect of redlining the community. There was no reason for the city to invest in infrastructure to support residential needs. There was no reason for banks to lend money for residential purposes. Fast forward to 1970, and the Federal Urban Renewal Program comes in, and that almost gave the death blow to Martinez Town. They designated Martinez Town blighted, slum, substandard, and scheduled for demolition, all the terms that were needed to legally justify eminent domain. And the Federal Urban Renewal Program dovetailed conveniently with the city's new plan to create a medical and educational center in the part of Martinez Town south of Lomas.
So this is where Loveless Hospital is now, and there's some other hospitals near there. Yeah.
Yes, but the citizens of Martinez Town refused the federal designation. They formed a group called the Citizens Information Committee of Martinestown. A man who is one of my local heroes, Frank Martinez, was one of the leaders of that. And he understood that to be most effective in countering urban renewal's plans and the city's plans, Martinestown had to come up with an alternative plan. So he enlisted the support of the Design Planning Assistance Center at the University of New Mexico. The other smart thing Frank Martinez did is he cultivated a direct relationship with the business leaders of Albuquerque. The story has a very happy ending in that on the 27th of September in 2016, the National Park Service dedicated the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro National Historic Trail, which asserts the importance of Martinestown as a place that matters. Frank Martinez worked for 45 years to make that happen. And I asked him, why did you do that? What sustains your effort? And he responded simply, because I was born and have lived my life here.
What can we take from that amazing story for Albuquerque?
Albuquerque is a place that matters. We need to tell our own story. You know, there's plenty of forces, like Mark was saying, national forces that conspire against that, you know, franchise culture. Or the fact that most of the banks in this town are not locally owned. Does an out-of-state corporation have the same interests in making sure Albuquerque prospers? Or are we just a remote profit center?
If you just tuned in, this is KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. And on this edition of University Showcase, I'm talking with architect Anthony Anella and professor of architecture Mark Childs about their book, Imagine a City That Remembers, the Albuquerque Rephotography Project. It was just published by UNM Press. Neither of you, I think, is advocating against changing growth in this
book. Not at all.
But so how do we allow for that? So we have an economy that provides good jobs, we keep our young people here, while retaining the cultural and historic fabric that makes Albuquerque unique. I guess that's the huge question I think you're looking at in this book.
It's not necessarily preserving everything as is. In fact, there are some pieces we do need to preserve. But if you do that too much, you become a museum. Tradition, heritage, is handing down. It's passing from one generation to another, the principles, the ideas, the approaches, but not necessarily the exact way of doing something. So we need to value that heritage, bring it to life now, understand that the same deep mythic stories can be told now with great power. I think that's what I saw in Breaking Bad. We can learn from our historic building patterns, not necessarily to do the same thing because times are different, but to do the same principles, the same underlying ways of relating to each other. And learning from Griegos, I think I looked at an old farming community that nevertheless had its central urban core, its little plaza. How can we do that today? How can we have those local centers? It's not just about downtown. It's about all these communities also having a heart, having that place of people can gather, can interact, can debate, can disagree. How do we build on that history also?
Where do you find optimism?
When I returned to Albuquerque through the airport, I know I'm home. Albuquerque's airport is unlike any other airport in the country. I'm optimistic about the incredible job our community has done in preserving open space. I'm optimistic by the fact that we have the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque. I'm optimistic that we have the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center in Albuquerque, that we have incredible brain power at Sandia National Laboratories. We have the flagship university of the state that, albeit has been very poorly managed for the past several administrations. But there is so much potential to build on here.
Let me add to Tony's list a little bit. I think the Indigenous Comic-Con mm-hmm. that's happened for the last 2 or 3 years here is one of those examples of history, of sense of self and sense of place, but is also absolutely of the moment, absolutely cutting edge. I think Chatter is also one of those things, those places of joy.
This is the weekly music and spoken word event.
Right, mm-hmm. right. It came out of a disaster of losing the symphony, but it's grown. It's become a wonderful thing of itself. And we need to grow a lot more of those.
And are, actually. The Comic-Con is going to other cities.
Right. It's a matter of pride. But it's not a matter of pride that keeps you in the past. It's a matter of pride that anchors you in the past, but has you moving forward.
You write that the technique of re-photography is something you think should be used more widely. Yeah. Why is that?
If you use it a little bit more carefully and pick which ones you're talking about as a way to bring people to a subject that they might not come to without that hook, it also keeps you a little bit honest, right? You have to see what actually happened in between this photograph and that photograph. You see things in these photographs that you would not have thought about. When we did this exhibit at the Albuquerque Museum, it was called Never Say Goodbye, which is the title of the show that was showing at the chemo in the historic photograph.
Oh,
so
okay.
Just that little piece gave us that spark to think about how are we really thinking about this work? What is the essence of this work at that point?
You want architects and designers and
right.
people who are altering our physical space to maybe use this
right.
technique more.
I also think that if you think about the news desert in the United States, all these counties that have no local paper or one local paper that's really just a shell for a big corporation, this might be a technique that they could use to tell their local stories. Also, I've talked to people in a number of small towns, and they're saying, oh, wow, I could. We have these historic photos. What if we went back and looked at them, re-photographed them, and used those to tell the story of Artesia or Carlsbad or Telluride?
One of the things Mark wrote in the book is notes on re-photography, which is a step-by-step guide to doing this project. It's not complicated. But it makes this book and this project replicatable. And one of the things I'd like to see, and I think Mark would too, is maybe a traveling exhibit to go to Roswell and Las Cruces and Silver City and Gallup and Farmington and Taos and Las Vegas, with the hope that this book, the example of the Albuquerque Re-Photography Project, as an inspiration for what those communities could do to raise awareness of why those communities matter.
Well, Anthony Anella, Mark Childs, thank you so much for coming and talking about your book, Imagine a City That Remembers, the Albuquerque Re-Photography Project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find this interview and all our previous episodes at KUNM.org. Thanks to Associate Professor David Bashwinner for composing our theme music. I'm Megan Kamrick. Thanks for listening to University Showcase.